Good afternoon and welcome to Speaking Truth to Empire on 88.1 KFCF Free Speech Radio for Central California. My name is Dan Yassin. I'm an anti-war activist. Mike Rhodes is at the control. Today is June 15, 2015, third Wednesday of the month. Every third Wednesday from 3 to 3:30 p.m., I interview authors, scholars, bloggers, columnists and activists who help us look at our world through the prism of American imperialism. On the show, we talk about U.S. foreign and domestic policies and the actions of the military-industrial surveillance security complex. These actions have severe consequences for the people all over the world. To create a better, humane and a compassionate world, we must first understand what is being done in our name, and we must always be willing to stand up, speak out, and speak truth to empire. Today we have Regis Tremblay on telephone with us. Hello, Regis.
Hello, Dan. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being my guest. Regis Tremblay is a filmmaker. In September 2012, he spent a month in Korea and 3 weeks in tiny Gangjeon village. He found that against the will of the residents of the village, who are mostly fishermen and farmers, the Korean government and Navy began building a massive naval base to accommodate America's military pivot to Asia. The people of Jeju are fighting for self-determination, basic human rights, an open and transparent democratic process, and the protection of this rare and beautiful environment. Regis, you made their struggle that has been going on for a long time into the film The Ghost of Jeju, and it is one of the most inspirational films I have seen. Describe for our listening audience who have not seen the film, what is The Ghost of Jeju is about.
Well, Dan, I went to Jeju Island some 30 miles south of the Korean Peninsula in 2012, and I thought I was only going to film the protest against the base. But what I discovered was the role of the United States military in Korea before the war and since the war until the present day. And basically, it has been a story of occupation, of genocide. Some, maybe as many as 60,000 people on Jeju Island were accused of being communist and were massacred at the hands of the United States military. And I made the film, The Ghost of Jeju, because I was so shocked and ashamed of what my country had done in Korea to those innocent people.
About 700 people have been arrested and charged with hefty fines that up to 400 that add up to 400,000, which they cannot afford and will not pay. Many have served jail times, days, weeks, or months, and a well-known film critic, Yoon Mo Young, has spent 550 days in prison after committing several acts of civil disobedience. Tell us more about their struggle, and you have met these people. What keeps them going?
Well, I lived with the people in Gangjeon Village for a little more than 3 weeks. And many have been arrested. They have been put on trial, including a Korean Catholic nun, the first nun who has been indicted in Korea in 200 years that Catholic nuns have been there. Sister Stella Seol, who is in my film, The Ghost of Jeju. The fines are in the hundreds of thousands of American dollars. The people there will never be able to pay them. Many go to jail in lieu of paying the fines. But what I discovered from these people, and it is incredibly inspirational, the sense of community, the sense of togetherness, the sense of supporting one another is something I've never seen in my life before. This is what keeps them going. Their backs are against the wall. Their livelihoods are at stake. Their 500-year-old village is going to be replaced by the base and accommodations for 8,000 Marines. And their beautiful environment is being destroyed. It's a UNESCO-protected environment. And this is because the United States is insisting that South Korea build this additional base to accommodate America's pivot to Asia of some 60% of America's naval forces into the East China Sea. And these people have everything to lose. Their backs are against the wall, and yet they have this never give up, no die spirit. It's incredible to see this. It's been going on for almost 8 years now, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, constantly. Amazing.
I read a description. Of course, I saw the film when you came here at the Fresno Center for Nonviolence when we screened the film. But I've read since then quite a bit about it. The daily protests start early in the morning, and there are prayers, singing, and a lot of things are going on. So give us an idea of what goes on a daily basis. I mean, it starts like 7 a.m. or something. It probably goes on all day. So just give us a description of all the rituals and all the things they go through day after day, same thing.
Well, I was really overcome. At sunrise, people gather on the bridge outside of the main gate, and they do a meditation, 100 bows, and praying for peace is basically what it is. They have recorded music at that time. As soon as that 100 bows are done or finished, the protesters, the activists, take up their positions in front of the gates. They sit in plastic chairs, or they sit on the ground to block as many as 80 cement trucks entering the base every day for this construction. And they're removed as many as 8 to 10 times a day by hundreds of South Korean police. So while they're at the gates, they talk, they socialize, but they block these cement trucks. At lunch, first of all, at 11 o'clock every day, they have a Catholic Mass. This has been going on for 8 years. And after the Mass, they say the Catholic Rosary. And priests and nuns and lay people come from all over South Korea to stand in solidarity with the people of Kangjung Village. After the Mass, which is at 11 o'clock, they have a meal that is brought to the gates every day at lunchtime because the activists never leave their posts. And the meal is served right there at the gates. So they're sitting in their chairs and blocking the gates, and they're eating their meals. Everybody who's there, activists or people from around the world or around Korea who are there, are fed. After the meal, they take up their post again, and until 6 or 7 o'clock in the evening, they are blocking the cement trucks. In the evening, there's a meal in a community dining hall that is kind of a temporary makeshift tent-like facility, and everybody is fed. After that, they have a vigil. And when it gets dark, it's usually at the gates or in the Peace Center when people sing and pray and talk about the events of the day and support each other. It's the most incredible sense of community that I've really ever experienced. And they end the day singing and dancing, which I think does two things. It relieves stress and leaves everyone with a feeling of hope and happiness. at the end of the day. And Dan, this has been going on every day for 8 years now.
You talked about the people from the mainland, and you did mention people from, I think, all over the world. The peace activists is coming and joining them, and some well-known activists that most of our listeners know. I think Kathy Kelly, Madea Benjamin, Bruce Gannon, Colonel Enright. They have, I mean, so many people have gone, so that is, they are getting worldwide attention.
Well, they certainly are. In addition to the people you just mentioned, Oliver Stone, the famous American filmmaker, spent several days in Kanjong Village and on Jeju Island. He marched in protest. He spoke out. He gave speeches. It's incredible. People from really all over the world have gone and spent a few days. Some people have spent a few months to stand in solidarity with the people against the advance of the American empire.
And not only that, they are coming to U.S. and visiting also. Recently, I read some mayors of cities in Jeju Island just recently visited U.S. also.
Well, yes. People from South Korea and from Jeju have visited the United States to bring their story and to tell their story to the United States. And all of the activists that go there from around the world return to their countries and then write articles, give talks, write articles for the newspaper. And like myself, I made a movie.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you did. Okay, let's move on to another subject. After that, I think you made a short film. I saw in one of your blogs, The United States of War. What was that film about?
Well, after I came back from South Korea and I made the film, The Ghost of Jeju, I was involved in a lot of research about the history of the United States. And I was very upset with what my country is doing around the world. So I went back to the very beginnings of the discovery of this country. And it's not really a discovery because the Native American people were already here. But when the white Europeans came here, they began killing the Native Americans, American Indians, and they killed hundreds of thousands of, maybe millions of Native Americans in North America and South America, stole their land. And then they moved on and they took over all of the land from east to west in the United States. Slavery was used to build up the American economic system. And slavery were black people from Africa that were brought here and enslaved by rich landowners, white landowners. And from the beginning of the country, the United States of America, in 1798, the United States has been at war all of those years and has invaded more than 500 countries. America right now has over 1,000 military bases in 130 countries around the world. And so the history of the United States is not one of spreading freedom and democracy around the world. It has been one of death, genocide, and destruction, and conquering, and colonization all over the world. And so the film, The United States of War, was really, I made it to expose the myth that America is not a country that is focused on spreading peace and democracy, but in fact, it has been a global empire and a global reach to conquer the world.
You are listening to Speaking Truth to Empire on 88.1 Free Speech Radio for Central California. We are speaking with filmmaker Regis Tremblay. We have Angela Price from the Fresno Center for Nonviolence to tell us about the center's 23rd anniversary event. Hi, Angela.
Well, hi, Dan, and hi, Regis. I remember your visit with your film, Jeju Island, and so it's so nice to hear your voice on our radio again, and I don't know whether you, next time you see Joyak, please say hi.
I will do that. Angela, it is so good to hear you, and thank you so much for being such a wonderful host.
We enjoyed your visit very much. Come back soon. Anyway, the reason I'm calling in, the Center for Nonviolence is going to have its 23rd anniversary this coming Saturday, June the 20th, and it will be held at the Unity Church, which is 315 West Shields, between Fruit and Arthur. And we'll have music with Abidar Adams. We'll have a lovely potluck. And we will be holding our annual Way of Peace Awards. This year they're going to Teresa Castillo, Connie Young, Pastor Chris Breedlove, and the Fresno Immigrant Youth in Action Group. It'll be from 4 until 6, and this is a new venue for us, so please come and find us. You know, it's always fun, and thank you very much, Dan, for letting me speak for a couple of minutes, and say hi again, Regis. Often think of you. Bye. Bye-bye, Dan.
Thank you, Angela. Bye-bye. Okay, let's move, Regis, let's move on to your next project, 3 Minutes to Midnight. How did this project come about?
Well, it's called 1157, 3 Minutes to Midnight. It's a takeoff on the Doomsday Clock. The Doomsday Clock originally was created to inform people around the world that because of nuclear proliferation, the world and humanity probably had 3 minutes to live. It wouldn't take very long for all of humanity and everything living on this earth to be extinguished if there was a nuclear exchange. And in recent years, the Doomsday Clock has taken on the threat of global warming. The catastrophic effects of global warming have the potential also to make human existence on this earth unsustainable. Extinction is definitely on the horizon. And this is all because of American militarism. And at the foundation of American militarism is the American form of predator capitalism. And so I finished the film, The Ghost of Jeju, and I realized what American imperialism was doing in the Pacific. And I thought, I've got to make another film, kind of a sequel to The Ghost of Jeju, that would begin in Hawaii, where the United States has been for over 100 years, and Hawaii was illegally annexed by the United States in 1898. The United States fought wars in the Philippines, the Spanish-American War. In World War II, the United States fought wars against Japan throughout the Pacific, all the way down to the Marshall Islands, Guam. And today, the United States still has an occupational force, not only in South Korea, but Japan, Okinawa, Guam, the Marshall Islands, and a return to the Philippines. And so I thought this was a threat to existence on the earth for all human beings, all life. And I thought I'm going to make a film and I'm going to go back to the Pacific. At the end of July, I'm going to visit Hawaii, Japan. I'll be at Hiroshima for the 70th anniversary of the atomic bombing of Hiroshima. I'm going to go to Okinawa, where the United States and Japan want to build a new naval base, just like the one in Jeju, on a beautiful coastline that will destroy the village, destroy the environment, and again, destroy the livelihoods of people. From there, I'm going to go back to Jeju and film the progress of this American base, which is about 85% completed now. And then from there, I'm going to go to the Marshall Islands. And the Marshall Islands, from 1946 to 1958, the United States detonated 67 atomic bombs, 1,000 times larger than we dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And the people there have been dying of cancers. Their food supply has been poisoned by radiation. They're fighting for their existence. They're fighting for their livelihoods. And the islands of the Pacific are experiencing now what sea level rise is doing to their islands because of climate change and global warming. Their existence is threatened twofold, one from nuclear and two from global warming and sea rise. So the new film is going to focus on those two aspects, primarily in the Pacific, but the same thing is happening throughout Eastern Europe and today in Ukraine. So that's going to be the focus of my new film, 3 Minutes to Midnight.
Okinawa is less than 1% of Japan's land mass, and it has 70% of American military based on there. It's just amazing. And opposition has been going on for a long time. I think you mentioned that earlier. So tell us about that 1%, less than 1%, and 3/4 of the U.S. military is on that island.
Well, the people of Okinawa are struggling on several levels. One, they're looking for their autonomy, their sovereignty, to be separate from Japan. They're resisting the efforts of the Japanese government and Prime Minister Abe to do away with the peace constitution and now to create a war-based economy because of the pressure from the United States. The people of Okinawa, after World War II, suffered tremendously. Tens of thousands of people were killed. Many committed suicide. And once the Americans won the war, they moved the residents of Okinawa to concentration camps, really. And they took over their land, and they built the naval base, or an Air Force base called Futenma. And there are 3 or 4 other bases on Okinawa, which make up most of the landmass. The people there today are either very poor or they work for or around the American bases. Their economy is based a great deal on the American bases. So the population is split as to wanting the Americans to go home and leave entirely and return this beautiful island to the people of Okinawa, or many think that, or a number think that they won't survive without the American presence. And the scam, which I believe is a scam, it's a lie, is these United Forces agreements, defense agreements that the United States is forcing them on Okinawa, Japan, Korea, South Korea, Vietnam, the Philippines, that without America's help, they are vulnerable to attacks from North Korea and China, which I think is absolutely absurd. That isn't what's happening. So on Okinawa, just like on Jeju Island, the people are protesting. Tens of thousands of people protesting the actions of their government and the addition of a new United States Air Force base in a small little village called Hinoko.
In your blog, which I've read a few many times, you have done a good analysis of the atrocities committed by the American Empire, and you wrote that the underlying cause of this imperialistic mayhem and pillage and devastation is capitalism. I know you mentioned that in one of your answers earlier, but tell us a little bit more about this relationship.
Well, capitalism is is an unsustainable system because it is based on the Earth, which is a finite resource, and unsustainable continuous growth and progress. It's impossible to continue. And so here in the United States, we have the large banks, the military-industrial complex, multinational corporations, and the oligarch, the wealthy elite people who are profiting, and the only ones who are profiting from war and from the imperial advance of the United States. And so the root cause of all of this is capitalism. People who are profiting from endless war and the extraction of resources from other countries around the world by force, when necessary, of the United States military. That's the purpose of the military today, to enforce the extraction of resources, whether it be gold, whether it be rare earth minerals, whether it be oil. Wherever these resources are that feed the American capitalist system, you will find the United States military there to enforce the extraction.
Regis, we do have a little more than 2 minutes left. I would like you to take that time to appeal to our listening audience about giving your website, about your fundraising, because you have not met your goal for the fundraising that you need to go to Okinawa and film. So give us an update on that and give us what will the money be used for, and just tell us how our audience can help you raise that fund.
Well, thank you, Dan. I'm trying to raise $10,000 to be able to make the trip from Hawaii all the way down to the Marshall Islands from July 24th until sometime early in September. The $10,000 will only cover the travel and lodging and expenses that I will incur when I am in those countries. I'm about $1,200 short of my goal, and if people would like to help contribute to this new film, 1157, 3 minutes to midnight, they can make out a check to the Global Network. It's completely tax deductible, and they can mail it to me at 209 River Road, Woolwich, W-O-O-L-W-I-C-H, Maine, 049-04971. It's 04579. I'm sorry. It's 04579 in Woolwich, Maine. And these donations will be tax deductible.
Give us your website so people can follow, because you write, you blog on regularly on that website. And the other thing is